good to see everybody, and I'm glad to be here, and I appreciate the invitation to come down from Sheridan. I understand you've called a pastor, and I think that's absolutely wonderful. I want to share with you that I have accepted a pastorate in Bottineau, North Dakota, 12 miles south of Canada.
Yeah.
I served it in the early 80s, and they'd been without a pastor for at least 2 years, and they couldn't find anybody to go there. Nobody wanted to go to Bottineau. So they decided I was better than nobody. So anyway, I start the 1st of September. So I've really enjoyed coming down here. I think I've been here about 3 times. It's always fun to see the church universal. You know, we're all the church, and yet every congregation is a little different. And so it's really nice to get a broader perspective of what the Christian community is, especially in Wyoming. And I hope and pray the best for you with your new leadership. Hopefully will be a time of great joy for everybody. The announcement for this week here, Tuesday, is Bible study at 10:30. Council meeting next Sunday, and August 15th, and Knighton will lead worship. So that will be especially important date to put on your calendar to come. Let us stand and sing the invocation song, "We Are Gathered Here." Let us join together in the confession. We have not lived as your chosen people. We have not loved your daughters and sons. We have not walked in the footsteps of others. We have not followed the servant, your son. Sometimes I hate, sometimes I lie, sometimes I waste, sometimes I cheat. We have not lived as your chosen people. We have not loved as your daughters and sons. We have not walked in the footsteps of others. We have not followed the servant, your son. Sometimes I am selfish. Sometimes I am prejudiced. Sometimes I am uncaring. Sometimes I am destructive. We have not lived as your chosen people. We have not loved your daughters and sons. We have not walked in the footsteps of others. We have not followed the servant, your son.
The world.
Through the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, we know this is true.
The first reading is from the 16th chapter of Exodus. The whole congregation of the Israelites complained against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. The Israelites said to them, "If only we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt when we sat by the flesh pots and ate our fill of bread. For you have brought us out into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger." Then the Lord said to Moses, "I am going to rain bread from heaven for you, and each day the people shall go out and gather enough for that day. In that way I will test them whether they will follow my instructions or not." Then Moses said to Aaron, "Say to the whole congregation of the Israelites, Draw near to the Lord, for he has heard your complaining. And as Aaron spoke to the whole congregation of Israelites, they looked toward the wilderness, and the glory of the Lord appeared in the cloud. The Lord spoke to Moses and said, I have heard the complaining of the Israelites. Say to them, at twilight you shall eat meat, and in the morning you shall have your fill of bread. Then you shall know that I am the Lord your God. In the evening, quails came up and covered the camp, and in the morning there was a layer of dew around the camp. When the layer of dew lifted, there on the surface of the wilderness was a fine, flaky substance, as fine as frost on the ground. When the Israelites saw it, they said to one another, What is it? For they did not know what it was. Moses said to them, It is the bread that the Lord has given to you to eat. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
Let us read Psalm 78 responsively. So God commanded the clouds above and opened the doors of heaven,
raining down manna on them to eat and giving them grain from heaven.
So mortals ate the bread of angels. God provided for them food enough.
The Lord caused the east wind to blow in the heavens and powerfully let out the south wind,
raining down flesh upon them like dust and flying birds like the sand of the seas.
Let them fall in the midst of their camp and round about their dwellings.
So the people ate and were well filled, for God gave them what they craved. The second reading is from the fourth chapter of Ephesians. I, therefore, the prisoner in the Lord, beg you to lead a life worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, making every effort to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to the one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in all. But each of us was given grace according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore it is said, When he ascended on high, he made captivity itself a captive. He gave gifts to his people. When it says he ascended, what does it mean that he had also descended into the lower parts of the earth? He who is descended is the same one who is ascended far above all the heavens so that he might fill all things. The gifts he gave were that some would be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for the building up of the body of Christ, until all of us come to the unity of the faith and of all the knowledge of the Son of God, to maturity, to the measure of the full stature of Christ. We must no longer be children, tossed to and fro, and blown about by every wind of doctrine, by the people's trickery, by their craftiness and deceitful scheming. But speaking the truth in love, we must grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by every ligament with which it is equipped, as each part is working properly, promotes the body's growth in building itself into love. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God. John, the sixth chapter. Glory to you, O Lord.
When the crowd saw that neither Jesus nor his disciples were beside the sea, they themselves got into the boats and went to Capernaum, looking for Jesus. When they found him on the other side of the sea, they said to him, "Rabbi, when did you come here?" Jesus answered them, "Very truly I tell you, you are looking for me not because you saw signs, but because you ate your fill of the loaves. Do not work for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures for eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. For it is on him that God the Father has set his seal." Then they said to him, "What must we do to perform the works of God?" Jesus answered them, "This is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he has sent." So they said to him, "What sign are you going to give us then, so that we may see it and believe you? What work are you performing? Our ancestors ate manna in the wilderness, as it is written, 'He gave them bread from heaven to eat.'" Then Jesus said to them, "Very truly I tell you, it was not Moses who gave you the bread from heaven, but it was my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is that which comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." They said to him, "Sir, give us this bread always." Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Please be seated. Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Misunderstanding is a common theme throughout the Gospel of John. Nicodemus does not understand when Jesus tells him he must be born again. When Jesus offers the Samaritan woman at the well the living water of eternal life, she misunderstands what he means. In last week's gospel, Philip and Andrew do not understand how 5 loaves and 2 fish can possibly feed 5,000 people. This theme of misunderstanding continues in today's reading from John. The Galileans follow Jesus to Capernaum, thinking he will provide more food for them. Jesus tells them, "Very truly I tell you, you are looking for me not because you saw signs, but because you ate your fill of the loaves." Jesus continues, "Do not work for food that perishes, but for food that endures for eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you." In response to Jesus' statement, the Galileans ask, "What must we do to perform the works of God?" Jesus responds, "The work of God is that you believe in him whom God has sent." But still not sure understanding who Jesus is as the Son of Man, the Galileans want a sign so they may see it and believe. They then go on to remind Jesus that their ancestors ate manna in the wilderness as a sign that God was with them. Jesus responds by saying that the bread Moses gave was not the true bread God gives, because that bread did not give life to the world. The bread Moses gave was only a sign, a symbol of God's presence with them. Jesus declares that he is the true bread, the bread that descends from heaven and gives life to the world. In essence, Jesus is saying that he's not God's intermediary, like Moses, dispensing the true bread. Rather, Jesus is the true bread himself. And Jesus' claim to be the true bread is validated by his resurrection from the dead. The crowd listening to Jesus responds, "Sir, give us this bread always." Now we have looked at John 6:25-34 in some detail. Now we ask, what difference does it all make? But before we can answer that question, we have to ask a prior question. What is wrong with our world? What is wrong with our world? There is so much toil and trouble, debate and division, struggling and searching. What is wrong with our world is not just a power differential, a separation between those who have and those who have not, or a difference over race, or a difference over gender identification, or some other division. How do we as Christians reflect upon what is wrong with our world? As Christians, we say sin is what is wrong with the world. We are born into a creation that is broken, and we ourselves are broken. Because Jesus is God in our human flesh, Jesus can heal our brokenness. As Christians, we dare proclaim that Jesus is the answer to what is wrong in our world. And today's gospel reveals three ways in which God, through Christ, offers healing for our brokenness. The first way of healing is that God is with us. Relationship is life, and relationship with Jesus is life eternal. Jesus Christ brings the past activity of God into our present. Can you remember all that God did in the past? The promise of the gospel is that Jesus still does it today. In the power of his resurrection, Jesus is not bound by history. Rather, he is free to come and feed us and to comfort us. For in Christ, the God who gave in the Exodus is the God who gives, becomes the God who gives. Everything we need to flourish in life, everything is given to us. God is always loving us, encouraging us, pulling for us, comforting us, suffering with us. The second way God heals our brokenness is through forgiveness. The purpose of forgiveness is to give us a new future. The purpose of forgiveness is to give us a new future, to release us from our past. Jesus, the bread of life, has the power to wipe away all those things in our life in the past that has put us in the dark, that makes us bitter and steals our joy. Jesus sets us free from those things in life that enslave us. We have new life. We have a new future. The third way God heals our brokenness is to give us a mission. God redeems God's people so that we can become a priestly kingdom. When the Galileans inquired of Jesus what they must do to perform the works of God, Jesus told them that the work of God was that we believe in Jesus whom God has sent. In John's gospel, believing is not an intellectual assent to a set of doctrines or a verbal confession that Jesus is Lord and Savior. Believing as an idea or as a thought is a relatively new idea. Believing really is a verb. Believing is a commitment that involves the total person in following Jesus into thinking and doing and fulfilling the will of God as a steward of God's creation. Believing is active. It's an action. Believing is a verb, not a noun. And likewise with the word faith, John in his gospel never uses the noun for faith, but always its verbal form, its active form. Have faith, come to faith, put on faith. Like belief, faith is an active commitment to a person, especially a commitment to Jesus the Christ. Faith is a verb, not a noun. When we believe in Jesus, eating, ingesting, and taking him into our lives, we live differently. We see ourselves and other persons created in the image and likeness of God rather than as obstacles to be overcome. We trust the silence of prayer rather than the words of argument. We choose love and forgiveness rather than anger and retribution. We relate with love, care, and kindness rather than with superficiality and defensiveness. We listen for God's voice rather than our own. Ultimately, we seek life rather than death. The artist and theologian Elizabeth Ray King says, "We can believe in justice as a thing. We can believe in love and care and kindness and humility. But until we start living and acting as love, living out that care, graciously spilling over with kindness and working with others, belief is just a belief. Believing in resurrection is okay. Living resurrection is quite another thing." You cannot learn about Jesus and simply say he was a great teacher or a notable figure in history. That choice is not on the table, folks. We must remember what Peter Kraft told his class at Boston University. He said, "Christ changes every human being he has ever met. If people claim to have met Jesus without being changed, they have not met Jesus. When you touch Jesus, you touch lightning." The life of Jesus demands a response. The Galileans responded to Jesus, "Sir, give us this bread always." What is your response? Amen. The song of the day is on page 5. Please stand.
Thank you.
affirm together what we believe. We believe we are chosen by God, our Creator, to participate in the ongoing work of creation by holding life sacred and being good stewards of God's gracious gifts. We believe we are chosen by Jesus Christ, our Savior, to participate in the ongoing work of spreading the good news of God's saving love and serving others in the name of the Lord. We believe we are chosen by the Holy Spirit, who calls us through the gospel to believe in Jesus Christ, gathers us as a community of believers to worship together and support one another, and enlightens us with gifts of love, forgiveness, and everlasting life. We believe the Holy Spirit nourishes our growth, preserves us in faith, and keeps us in God's grace forever. Amen.
You may be seated. Let us worship God as we make our offerings. The offering song is Everybody's Got Something to Offer. Divided, knit us together and restore the unity of the faith. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
You command the clouds above and cause the wind to blow in the heavens. Watch over deserts and wilderness places. Regenerate rainforests. Defend species at risk of extinction. And strengthen the work of conservation organizations. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
You summon leaders to respond to the needs of your people. Instill those who govern with patience when confronted with grievances and perseverance in seeking what promotes the well-being of the community. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
You draw near to those who cry out for help, feed those who are hungry, reassure those who are despairing, and accompany those who are in prison. Rain down the true bread from heaven that gives life to the world. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
You receive all who come seeking a sign of grace. Make this congregation a place of hospitality for those accustomed to rejection, to those who have felt excluded here or elsewhere. Prepare us to welcome them in the name of Christ. Hear us, O God. We give thanks that the Holy Spirit has been working through our call committee and all who have been working to bring a new pastor to Buffalo. We pray for the councils, congregations, and candidates that you would grant to all a spirit of wisdom and discernment as we prepare to meet and shape a common vision for this ministry in Buffalo, and that you would guide us through each step in the days ahead. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
You provide food that endures for eternal life. Sustain us each day with the bread of life until we are gathered with all the saints and feast together at your heavenly banquet. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
We lift these and all our prayers to you, O God, confident in the promise of your saving love through Jesus Christ, our Savior.
Amen.
Thank you.
give thanks for this sacrament. Holy God, we give you thanks for your bread and your blood shed for us. Help us to be your faithful servants, and may this time together and this meal give us strength to be ever more faithful. Amen. The communion hymn is Eat This Bread.
We've done that.
So the blessing. Okay, I'm sorry. I really like this order of service, but I guess I've got to pay more attention yet. May the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and give you peace. And go now and live as the chosen people of God. Christ is with you.
Thanks be to God.